podcast is brought to you by Lighthouse Fellowship Antwerpen. For more information, please visit our website www.lighthouseantwerpen.be. We hope that this audio podcast will help you to enjoy life, to love God, and to make a difference.
Good morning, everybody. This is a very special service. We are not going to give some kind of preaching, but we have three people here. If there's any kind of question that you have and you think it would be beneficial for everybody to ask them, we will give you this opportunity today. But let me just drop a few thoughts on our vision. First, a little bit more general, and then specifically for 2018. Hadassah and I, we started this church 2009 with three people in our living room. And we have now an average of 110, 115 people on a Sunday. I think that we have 130, 140 people belonging to this church. But this is not why we are doing it. We are not after numbers. We are after something else. And I want to share a little bit of our heart, what that is. No, we can go into theological discussions and lose ourselves there, or we can make things very, very simple. And we found over the last 9 years, we made a lot of mistakes, so this is how we know, that sometimes things are just very, very simple. God, the God we serve, is a God who loves people, all people. And he has a passion for people. And if an organization can help facilitate this, fantastic. If the organization is in the way of this, let's change this organization's. Because our God has a passion for people. And we try to break down everything that we do in Lighthouse into four simple steps. And we have them left and right in Dutch and in English. It's know Jesus, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. Because we believe this is God's heartbeat for every person. Let me just quickly go over it. We will cover the first two today. If you want to know more about it, join our Next Steps program that we run after services starting next month again. But just quickly, God wants people who do not know him to get to know him. Mm-hmm. And this is not something he does in his free time. He is the God who leaves the 99 and he goes after this one person who is lost until he finds it. He's not going out between two services and looks around. Oh, maybe there is somebody. Okay, I found nobody today. Let's go home. No. He leaves the 99 and he goes out and he's looking for this one sheep that is lost until he finds it. And so often as a church, we neglect this. We do all church stuff, all for church people, sing church songs, speak church words, Christianese. Is the language spoken in many churches. You know Christianese? We have all these terms, the blood of the lamb, and new people come in, they have no clue what we're talking about. That's Christianese. And God says, hey guys, I love you, but my heart is broken about all these people around who do not know me. You need something to do about this. That's why this point is so important. Know Jesus. God wants to be known. This is our DNA. A second part is find freedom. He wants people who got to know him to find freedom. And Nathan will share today about our lifeboats. This is how we want to help you find freedom. Because real life change happens in relationships. It cannot happen on a Sunday morning with 100 other people. You can say, good morning, how are you doing? I'm fine, thank you, goodbye. But the real stuff, hey, my marriage is about to break. I'm in a depression, I'm broke, I have a problem, I'm hurt. You need this group, smaller group of people who are with you, these buddies who do life with you. That's our lifeboats, to find freedom. We want people who found this freedom or are on the way to find freedom to discover their purpose. You know that Mark Twain, he said something wonderful. He said, the two most important events in the life of a human being are this, the day when he is born and the day when he finds out why. Even a lot of Christians, they have no idea what their purpose is, their calling is, what they were made for. But we see in the Word of God, in the Bible, if I open it, that God, he knew us before we were made and formed in our mother's womb. He did not make a couple of people and some of them want to have relationship with them, and then he thinks, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with you now? I need to find something. Well, plant a church, clean the toilet. I don't know. No, he had an idea, a purpose for my life, and then he made me. And he wants me to find it, because then I have this fulfillment. This is our third step. We cannot go into depth about this. If you want to have more about this, go to our next steps after service starting next month. This is designed for you to find your purpose. And finally, make a difference. We want to create opportunities for you to find, if you found your purpose, your passion, your gifts, to walk it out and to live with it in a context that is bigger than yourself. That we change the city together, we change the nation together for our Lord and Savior. You in your gifting, I in my gifting, and together we get the job done. That's fulfillment. This is what we call the cup of praise. There's nothing better in life. All we do in Lighthouse rallies around these four points. We don't do 150 different things. Women's group, travels to Israel, study this. We don't do that. Why? It distracts us. We do these four things, and we do all the effort, all the energy flows into making these four things great and make them work the best way we possibly can. That's our focus. Everything that distracts this focus wastes our time. We learned this the hard way, but today I'm glad that we finally have clarity over it. Let me share a few thoughts on know Jesus. Some of you may think, well, other people to know Jesus, how can this work? We can go out in the city and give out tracts. Or we can stand on the street corner and sing something. I did all of this. I'm guilty of all of this. But this is not as effective as we might think. Because if people are interested in God and you really have a good conversation on the street, may it be so, where do you send them? Well, give them the address of a church. Well done. Well, yes, do that. I know what I found. Most people go to a church one time, never go back for good reasons. Why? Because it seems to me that most churches do not expect visitors. They are not prepared for visitors. Everything they do is customized for a small club of Christians. They speak Christianese, sing Christian songs, do all this little Christian thing. That if a new person would come into this setting, it would feel like, I don't think that I belong here because you're a little weird. Imagine this. If we invite people and they come for the first time, what feeling do they have? Have you ever invited a colleague at work and then finally he comes to your place? What do? You clean your living room. You clean the toilets. You make good food. You decorate the desk. You make time for them. If they ring the bell, imagine this, your guests ring the bell and you open and you say, oh, nice that you are here, please come in. And then you leave them there, you walk back into the kitchen and you start talking to your spouse. And the visitors, they stand in the hallway, said, okay, where do we have to put our jackets on, out, all these doors, what is this here? We don't know our way. And let's say that they go into the living room and they sit there and I would just talk to my wife about family stuff. You know, Hadassah, this one transaction we made did not went through and Joel has problems in school and this letter came in and my guest would sit there getting the feeling, well, if it's not the right time today, we might come somewhere. But, I mean, we don't need this, right? We've been invited. So, and then it's eating time. And you go into the kitchen, you make some kind of cheap thing in the microwave, you bring it, you put it there with a plastic knife, eat smakelijk, and you turn around and you keep talking to your wife. Well, latest then, they would say, you know, we have another appointment today. Thank you so much. It was awesome to be with you. And they see that they get the heck out of that house. And honestly, so often this happens that people come for the first time to church and they have this feeling. They are not expected. Nobody takes time. They are not part of what happens there. They don't even have a chance to get what this is all about. And this is something that we see in this point. We want people to know Jesus by creating a place where it's easy to bring them in and where they feel welcomed. And this starts with an environment that hopefully looks friendly, is inviting, a coffee corner, good coffee. We grind the beans every morning fresh for you because we want you to enjoy the coffee. We have three young men who come every week during the week to clean the toilets for you, that the toilets smell nice. That if you come, you enjoy being here. We have a welcome team at the door. And this is, do we need this? Well, I don't need it, but the people I expect, it does something to them. It communicates, we've been waiting for you. You're welcome here. We have place for you. Can I help you? Can I explain you something? This is the dream of Lighthouse, that we come and people are welcome. They feel, hey, this is a church for people like me. Finally, I found it, because I found one thing. A lot of people are open for Jesus. A lot of people are open to believe in God, but it's the church who turns them away. And our big dream is to change that. I have a friend, he built a church in Munich, in Nuremberg, I'm sorry. And I met him this week at the conference, and he said they had a Christmas service and all seats were packed. It's a huge church. They broke the 1,000 people mark 2 weeks ago. And he said, for the first time, one of my colleagues came, and accidentally I bumped into him, because before I went to preach, I needed to use the restroom. And there, the whole family was there, for my colleagues. I said, hey, so glad you're here, awesome. And then he did the preaching. However, weeks later, he met him again, and he asked, hey, how do you find it? How was it? And the guy said, you know, let me start with the things that I really liked. Yes, okay. And he said, you know, the building was fantastic. The people there, they were so friendly. The coffee was great. I felt really expected. This was all fantastic. You have a great project there. The only thing that I did not like was your whole talk about this Jesus. And this pastor said, well, then I know that we did a great job, because this is the only thing that we will never change. We are not ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. We love Jesus. We will never take this out of this church. But if anything else offends people to come, we will change it. That's why we want to have clean toilets. We want to have good sound. We invest money in technique. Does the Holy Spirit need technique? No, he doesn't. But the people who do not know Jesus respond to it, because this creates a setting that is familiar to them. We don't want to be weird. I mean, I am a little bit, but that's a different thing. But we want them to come in and find something, finally a place for people like me. I can see myself going to church. Even this sounds funny, but with this church it would work, because that's just different, that's just awesome. And this is, I want you to understand that this is our Sunday morning. This is not just evangelism, this is not just reaching the lost, this is a new way of doing church 2.0, however you want to put it. We come together, we celebrate God in a setting that is accessible for people for the first time. They come and they hopefully love it, because we expect them, we prepare for them, we do a lot of efforts. And some people see empty seats here in between of you. We see opportunity. Every single seat today where nobody sits is reserved for a person outside there who doesn't know Jesus. And we want them to get to know our Lord, because our Lord is an awesome God. This is the overall vision of the Sunday morning. We go now into the kids ministry, and then we go into the lifeboats. Let me just drop one thought on 2018, because we had a great time of prayer in September. And I really feel that God spoke to me. If this offends you, if you think, oh, well, it's time for you to see a shrink if God talks to him. Well, I know it sounds weird, but I really have the feeling that God spoke to me. And the fellowship Sundays that we start, we do it on purpose, because we felt that there's a little danger or lack of fellowship moments. Because if you cannot join a lifeboat for whatever reasons, Sunday morning is not enough. So I just needed to create another moment where also the Dutch-speaking people with the primarily English-speaking people meet each other. We don't want to grow two churches. We are one family, one body. And we hope that this will become a place for the whole church once a month, every first Sunday a month, to have a great service together and then get to know new people and find that some of them struggle with the same thing you struggle. This is church, and we help each other, and you are not alone, and you find relationships here. This is what we do, you know. That's why we have the Fellowship Sunday installed, and we have from next month on, we do the Next Steps program after the Sunday with good food and good coffee in the back of the church to help you find your purpose. And we do it in March. We do the first Sunday. We do the Next Steps in Dutch. All sessions together, because our Dutch speakers always needed to wait until after the English service. And we want to change that because we want to make it as pleasant as possible. So these are all these thoughts to help you find God and be with people and enjoy your life to the full that God intended you to have. This is our job. I see my job as a pastor primarily as a gardener. We have this plant, and the more I would try to push it and to make it grow, I would destroy it. I would ruin it. My job is to see, is the soil healthy, if there is enough sun, if it's enough water, and if the plant is if this church is healthy, it will grow by itself, because I cannot grow the church. But if people find something here, they will come back and they want to bring their friends and families because it's great. And that's our assignment. This is what we are here for. I give it now to my great wife, Hadassah, and she will share a little bit on our kids' church, right? Can we give her a hand?
Thank you. I'd like to share some. Last year, I just felt God... that's yours. Yeah. I just felt like God was saying something that was in Exodus. It says, they camped when the cloud stood still. They moved when the cloud moved. And I just really felt that God was saying, I want you to be a church that moves when the cloud moves, but that stands still when the cloud stands still. That means you have to be a flexible church. As a kids' church, you have to be ready to let go of everything that you've built up that has worked so far to jump into what will work from now on. And you have to listen to me carefully, because we're going to be transitioning to seasons a lot, and you cannot rest in your own power alone. There will be times where you get to rest and enjoy the fruit of your labor, and there will be times where you have to follow me out of your comfort zone. And we have done that. We have had a whole year where we just took the kids through a foundation of Bible, and we took them through the whole Bible. And then now we are focusing with our kids on their relationship with the Holy Spirit. Having them hear from the Holy Spirit, it was a huge transition, but it was one that God invited us to, which leads me to the next scripture. And that was what God said for this new season. He said, let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such as these belongs the kingdom of heaven. We've probably heard that scripture more than anyone, as if we are a longtime Christian. But what God was trying to say was, kids can hear from me. Do you believe that? And if you believe that, will you make a platform for the children where they have a safe place to learn to hear from me, where I can speak to them? They can understand it, they can encourage each other, they can build each other up, they can pray for each other, but they can also be in direct relationship with me. And I said, yes. And I said, God, that's going to be messy. But then again, I've never met any kids' work that is not messy, because you work with real people. So it's going to be messy at times, chaotic at times. But we had, like just last Sunday, we had the kids hear from God, and we had God speak identity into them. And we had put up scripture. Like, they could see if what they were hearing was in line with what scripture would say. But also, if they felt like they were blocked and this was a bit difficult for them, they could go to scripture and find something there. And they used scripture. But every single one of them, everyone got a word from God spoken to them on who they were to God. And not only that, we paired them up and we had them ask God what God thought about the other child. Words of affirmation, words of encouragement over the other child. And because we were an even number, I joined. And I basically received a word of encouragement, a word of prophecy from a child that is less than half my age. It was amazing. It's powerful because these kids have full access to the Holy Spirit. It was great to see because what we are trying to build, God said to me, I want these children to hear from me more than you want to see these children hear from me. See, I really badly want to hear those children hear from God. I never made that a secret. That is really what I want. But God said, I want these children to hear from me even more than you want to see them hear from me. And that is what is happening, and it's pretty amazing. We have an overall vision. We don't blow with every wind. We only go with the wind of the Holy Spirit. And overall, this is what our kids' work stands for. We try to build a relational discipleship. That means we get to know the names of our kids, even if they are many. We say hi to them on Sundays, even if we're not on duty for a kids' church. We try to find out their likes, their dislikes, their passions. We definitely try that when they reach the end of the age of kids' church, that they have found a place of belonging in the church, under somebody else's arm, learning how to serve in the church, learning how to be connected. And what do? We try to give the kids a solid foundation in the Bible. We really try to grow them deep roots. And we also believe that the Word comes alive through the Spirit. So we try to create a safe place where they can experiment in relating to the Holy Spirit, in hearing from Him. Because we believe that if you focus only on the Bible, it's easy to become a Pharisee, a legalist. And if you only focus on the Holy Spirit, it's easy to be drifted off by your feelings. You need the balance of both, and therefore kids need the balance of both. So we try to heavily invest in both of them. And how do we do that? We try to create a safe place. We put in place boundaries as good as we can. And that might mean for the parents among us that maybe one Sunday your child will be sent back from kids' church because it has been pushing the boundary and it needs to learn, here is the boundary. Doesn't mean we don't love your kid anymore. It means we love him extra much. And the next time your child is safe when it comes because it knows where the boundaries are. We try to solve most of those things inside the kids' church, so don't worry about that too much. The other thing is also we try to make it fun. We try to make kids' church fun. Not every kid likes to go to school. And so it's not our idea to make it look like school as much as possible. No, we try to create space for fun. We try to make it very practical so they can go and do stuff, play games, pray, hear, all of that. And because God is a God who is like an amazing, endless adventure. God is full of laughter. God is full of joy. So why would we wrap him up in a boring package? I mean, none of the kids are ever going to find out how amazing he is if we try to do that. So we try to do as much fun activities with the kids as we can fit in. We have a team of about 8 leaders and more or less 15 helpers. And our vision for this year is that everyone in the kids' church will be connected. The helpers will all have mentors where they can also go if something doesn't work so well. The leaders will be connected up well, and we will be looking out for each other. That is what I would really love to reach this year. And we're always looking for people to build with us. We are looking for a specific type of people to build with us. We are looking for people who drip with grace and who have a builder's attitude. Just if something goes wrong, don't all go look. No. Go and encourage. Go and pick up. Go be the one to speak some new courage into somebody. Drip with grace and have a builder's attitude. That's mainly what I wanted to say. So if you want to join the kids team and you feel like you would want to grow into that, that would be wonderful. Come see me. If you're a parent and you'd love to do something with all of this, but you don't really know how, joined my lifeboat, we will go through what the church is going through, but then as parents. So dads, moms, the lifeboat is welcome for you to join. Everybody, dad, mom, grandparent, auntie, teenager, everybody who wants to drip with grace and who has a builder's heart and who wants to work in the kids' church, come see me.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Hadassa. And now we give it to our friend Nathan. Nathan is coordinating our lifeboats, and he will share a little bit. This will be the second point, find freedom, and why lifeboats are so important for us. We are not a church that has lifeboats. We are a church of lifeboats. Nathan, can we give him a hand? Nathan Lockler, come on, guys.
Yeah, so I want to just kind of take a moment to reiterate something that both Frank and Hadassah have said. From a guy who wasn't raised in church and became a Christian later in life, you might have noticed that what they talked about and what I'm going to talk about in these 4 points, we do church different than maybe you have experienced in your past or known about in your past or any of those things. But let my 16-year-old, early 17-year-old self try to convince you that if I would have known about a church like this even before I knew Christ, I probably would have gone to it. I had a hard time going to churches with those, I don't know how else to say it, but the stiff-necked people that really acted like they had their act together but really didn't. So when I came in, I was immediately judged, felt like I didn't belong there, and it was that big, almost looked like a big temple, and you walk in and it's like totally, I mean, like you can't touch anything. You feel like a kid in a candy store and our kid in a like a porcelain store, and you feel like you're going to break everything, and am I allowed to, yeah, it was completely inhospitable for people, it felt like. But let me tell you what, that's the reason why we do this the way we do, is because what Frank said, Jesus left the 99. We think when we get saved, we're the special ones. Well, yeah, you are. You're good to go. But Jesus and God's heart is still for the lost. Like, that's his number one concern. And us as Christians have got to get on board with that, that God's number one goal is to see lost people found. Like, maybe I have elevated, oh, I need to learn, or I needed this. No, 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 no. All that comes secondary to God's main goal, and that's to find the lost found. And the cool thing about us as Christians is we get to come and we get to be a part of God finding lost people. Because I don't know if you know this or not, and we're going to talk about this a little bit as part of Lifeboats, is that God's goal for you is to be a part of finding lost people. That's the reason why this is so important, because you are the church, and we need to be go in finding lost people. So we want to create that hospitable environment. And also for kids, man, there's nothing better than a church who's going to come alongside you as a parent to lead your children to Christ, bring them to Christ, and that's what we're all together here for. So let's talk a little bit about how lifeboats fit into this. So God's plan for people is for you to find Jesus. A lot of people are Christians, but a lot of people still are in this holding zone between I'm a Christian, but I still struggle with my old junk. So I'm a Christian, but I still have chains. I'm a Christian, but I'm still in the cell. I'm a Christian, but I'm still locked up. I'm a Christian, but I still deal with the same stuff over and over and over again. God's goal for you is to be done with that stuff once and for all. So if you're addicted to something or whatever, listen, you don't have to go through your whole life addicted to that anymore. If your marriage is struggling, you don't have to keep living in a struggling marriage the rest of your life. If you're struggling with whatever it is, or maybe everything's just not perfect, God's goal for you is not for you to just struggle through this life and one day make it into eternity. God's goal for you is to find freedom, real freedom. Even Jesus, I mean, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So do not submit anymore to that yoke of bondage. In other words, be done with it. And so here's the deal. You can come and you can just come on Sunday morning and you can hang out, and you get to know some people and maybe get a download on Sunday. But Sunday isn't for people that are saved. We've already talked about that. Frank talked about it. The Sunday message isn't going to be as deep as you need to know your Bible. Okay? I'm just telling you. So be warned, right? When I preach, when Frank preaches, when we all speak, our goal, we are preaching to lost people. That's what we want. We want those empty seats for people to come in that don't know Christ, and we want them to know Christ. We don't want them to know a bunch of Greek and a bunch of Hebrew. That's important, But I'll tell you what, you can go to hell knowing all Greek, but you need to know Jesus. So Sunday is about knowing Jesus. All right, so God wants you to be done with your past sin, and we all have it. We all have that junk. None of us are perfect, all right? I talked about the churches I didn't like where people were unapproachable. You have a bunch of approachable people here, all right? We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, what's cool is that some of us have found freedom. We are standing on the other side of that jail cell. Now, we're not just going to run once we find freedom and leave the people that are still in the jail. What we want to do is we want to help you now find freedom. That's what our lifeboat leaders are for. These people that are leading lifeboats have found something. And they found something that they want you to find. This Food and Fellowship group, I can promise you it's not just French fries. All right? They have found freedom. And they want you to experience that. Now, food is going to be that hook for you to come in and find that freedom. Because that freedom is only to be found in relationship. Okay? Pastor Frank talked about what we're going to do once a month with this fellowship time, and that's important. But I'm still going to tell you, that's still not enough. You need some people in your life that you can get real with. Like, really real. Does that make sense? So, there's no sense in you coming in on Sunday and acting like you have a perfect marriage, because you're still going to walk out with an imperfect marriage, with a damaged relationship. Lifeboats are where you can bring whatever that junk is. You are welcome to bring it. Look, there are no perfect people allowed in my lifeboat, in this church, or in any of the lifeboats. You come in with your junk, right? You walk in with it, and then you get around people who are going to be able to point it out in your life, because you may have a chain attached to a part of your body that you haven't looked at in like 10 years, all right? Now, when you walk in, I can kind of give you a little look and be like, you know, you got a chain attached to your backside. I know you haven't turned around and looked at your backside in a while, but there's this thing going on that maybe you want to deal with so that you can, like, drop that chain and that ball, and you can move on and help find freedom. You guys following me? And so what we do here is we do lifeboats that are called free market groups. They're called free market lifeboats, all right? They're not all Bible studies, because everybody's at a different point in their relationship with Christ, and also everybody deals with different junk. So maybe you've gone past and you found that freedom. Well, maybe you need to join the Old Testament group, lifeboat, where you're going to learn more, get more meat and learn about the Old Testament. Maybe you're a guy and you haven't been leading your family the way you need to, and maybe you need to join my group that's about men. Maybe you're a mom and you're just really struggling with your kids. You really just want to, I don't know, right? I guess all you moms deal with that, right? I mean, like, it's a struggle, but you're not meant to do life alone, and you're not meant to walk through life with that struggle alone. Because everybody in here, I guarantee you there's somebody that's dealing with the exact same thing you are. And you need to find that person, and you guys need to strengthen each other and encourage each other, and you'll be better because of it. And so lifeboats are a critical part. We do these four things. Pastor Frank talked about Sunday morning, and now we talked about lifeboats. And it is our goal that we be a church of lifeboats, not a church with them. This is not something that we tack on to what we do. This is an integral and intimate part of what we do at Lighthouse. So let me encourage you. This is what you really need to do practically. Number one, you need to take lost people in your life, because we all know them, and you need to invite them on Sunday morning so that they can know Jesus. The second thing that you need to do, I'm telling you, is before you leave here today, you need to go to that table in the back. There are eight sheets of paper, all right? Anybody in here have anything in your life you struggle even remotely with? I actually want to see your hands this time. Does anybody have anything that you struggle? Man, we got a lot of people who have already found freedom. We need more lifeboat leaders. If you didn't raise your hand, you need to start a lifeboat. No, but seriously, go in the back and sign up for a lifeboat. Now, the cool thing about the way we do lifeboats as well is that if you don't see a lifeboat that you are interested in, you say, well, there's one with food, but there's not a running lifeboat. There's not an exercising lifeboat. There's not a this thing or that thing I'm interested in. I have really good news for you. I'm now recruiting you to start a running or an exercise lifeboat. You don't have to be a theologian to lead a lifeboat here. All right? All you need to do is you need to know Jesus. You need to know that he has a plan for your life. He has a plan for other people's lives. And he takes all these jacked up people together, and he uses all of us collectively to reach the world with the gospel. And that's all you need. And we will do lifeboat leader training. We will equip you. We'll tell you what it's all about. And then you get in a group of people, which are all these lifeboat leaders, and we encourage you and love on you, and we walk you through the process during the semester. So we're also not going to leave you on your own. So join a lifeboat. If you have people who aren't in a lifeboat, ask them to join a lifeboat. If you're leading a lifeboat, invite people into your lifeboat. It'll change your life. In 2018, you probably will find will be the best year of your life. Thanks.
All right. As you know, people from Alabama, they know how to challenge, right? That's like kind of straight talk that Europeans are not really used to, but that's indeed the heartbeat. You know, I have the feeling that church people, like I'm a church people, the church, we have enough theory. We know the theory. We know enough. It's time to walk it out. And the moment that we start walking it out, it will change my life and it will change other lives. And this is what it comes down to. We don't want to stuff you with more knowledge. We want to encourage you to walk with us. And this is real life. Real relationships, real people. Now, one guy said lately, I love that, we receive forgiveness from God, but healing most of the time comes through other people. Love that. And he gave a testimony how he struggled for years with something until he opened up and another brother just prayed for him. And he prayed for this thing for years and it did not disappear. And this other brother prayed for him and it was gone like this. God designed it that way. We need each other. And this tackles with our pride, with our, no, but I can do it on my own. No, no, I'm the pastor of this church and I confess to you, I cannot do it on my own. I need you guys to be in my life. I need you to be in my life because I don't have it all together. I can't do it on my own. I can pray, I can read the Bible at home alone. I don't need you for that, but to live this out and to receive healing and become this person that God made, I need you. And you need me. That's church.